AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are in the studio. Marvin Bartley's still with us at Celtic Park, and we're about to reflect between now and 4 o'clock on an utterly convincing day for Celtic. Their derby dominance continues, and with a bit of comfort this time as well. So, it's over to you. Celtic fans, how would you sum it up? What was good about it? Rangers fans, how would you sum it up? What was bad about it? It seems that simple, Gordon Dale.
Yeah, I think if you're in the Celtic camp, you're absolutely delighted this afternoon, Gordon. I thought they were, you know, in terms of playing, their passing, movement, everything about them. I think Rangers got very lucky that it wasn't a lot more severe. If you're Philippe Clement, you're wondering, how are you going to bridge that gap? Because let's be honest, it's a massive gap just now, and Celtic will only get better. You look at their bench, you look at the strength of the players that they can bring on. So it was a very good day for the Celtic supporters, players, and everyone concerned. And it'll be interesting to know what the Rangers fans are actually thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better. Philippe Clement's had 5 attempts at playing Celtic and has not won a game. And the gulf between them looks as if it's widening. It's not getting shorter. And I go back to the point that on the bench you had Adam Eder, you had Engels, you had McCowan, you had players who in total cost Celtic £30 million this summer. Therefore, from this distance, it looks as if Celtic only gets stronger. And where Rangers go from here becomes a matter for conjecture.
I think analysing the game today, I think Celtic have just carried on in the same vein as they have since day one of pre-season, taking in the American tour and the opening league games and the cup games. And I think Rangers were similar. I think the only anomaly for Rangers is that Ross County game where they looked clinical and looked a good side. But even in the victories that they've had this season, it's all disjointed, it's not been good enough, they've looked wide open at times, and I thought that followed suit today.
Yes, over to you, 0141 951 1025. Whilst you get your calls in, Marvin Bartley, you witnessed it in person, it'll have calmed down slightly. Felt like we had a contest for about 10 minutes maybe, and then thereafter, no such thing.
Yeah, the first 10 or 15 minutes I think there was definitely a contest, and then Celtic kind of found their way and Rangers lost theirs. You know, don't get me wrong, it's hard work when you are pressing Celtic and everyone has to move together. But it just seemed that Rangers, as soon as Celtic started to play through them, they lost belief in what they were doing. And Celtic got better and better as the half went on. And as, you know, the guys in the studio were saying, they probably find themselves unlucky to only be at 2-0. And then the second half, again, Rangers had maybe a 10-minute spell at the start of the second half, but they were toothless in front of goal for me. And I just felt that if Celtic needed to, they would have found another gear. I know it was 3-0, but I still think there was more to come from Celtic. On the ball, they made the sub. They got, you know, a few players a debut as well. And it was seamless. You know, they came into the team and, you know, they started getting on the ball and they were getting the rotations right in the midfield. So, you know, fair play to the coaching staff who probably, you know, worked with them for 24 hours to get into the team, and they're already doing those sorts of things. But this Celtic team will get better. They'll get stronger. And as I said, that's the biggest worry because, you know, they're breathtaking at times today.
Yeah, and the worrying thing is, even as early as this, if you look at the league table, you're already 5 points behind. You're looking at a Celtic team, and Mark's right, it's only got to get better. Brendan Rodgers was very confident from pre-season. He told everybody the style of football, because he got criticised in the past about, you know, it was boring, it's not the Ange Postecoglou. I don't think any Celtic fan now on this planet will say they don't enjoy watching this style of football. They've been absolutely breathtaking at times.
Okay, let's start on the phones then. Strap yourselves in for Billy, who's going to take us away. Billy, you're a Rangers fan. How do you feel after that?
Well, usual. I mean, the man just hopeless, quite honestly. Clueless, no shape. He's actually made the team worse. The slide Michael Beale, he sounds like Michael Beale, because all he does is talk, and there's no action. He didn't know the shape of his team. The players out there were half fit. And basically playing Mantongo out in the wing. They scored a couple of goals last week. I never seen that. It was on holiday. But he gives us nothing. He basically causes a goal. No, it's just putting the track back. I mean...
So you think, you know, there is a lot going on at Rangers, obviously. There's a lot going wrong. But you do put this one at the manager's door.
100%. The manager puts 11 players at the park. Look, the manager can change 11 players every once in a while the next week.
This is the problem. Yeah,
they change their shape.
Billy is exactly representative of the supporters I thought would come on, first of all, because it's five games against Celtic for Philippe Clement and no wins. And today, the subplot today is that Celtic won 3-0, but had they won 6 or 7-0, Billy would not have been surprised and no one else would have been surprised. Celtic let Rangers off very, very lightly today. And therefore, Philippe Clement comes under the microscope. It has to be that way. He has Manchester United to face, Tottenham Hotspur to face in European competition. Who knows what that could look like? But the worry is, he's not even second place now. You've got Jimmy Heelan at Aberdeen, unbeaten. And, you know, the fight might be on for Rangers to finish second.
Marvin, having watched it today, how much of this can be put at Philippe Clement's door? What did he get wrong?
Yeah, as the manager, you know, there's always going to be things put at your door. And as I said, the first 10 or 15 minutes, I think they were spotting with what they were doing. I watched them last season here against Celtic and they looked disjointed in terms of their press and it was a lot better this time. And then, as I said, as Celtic started to play through the lines, it was an appetite for the Rangers players to carry on doing it. You know, and the first goal for me, you can't blame the manager for that. Matondo has to track his man. For me, it's just lazy, and you know, maybe a strong word, but as a player, when you're, as I said, you're playing in this game, you have to track in any game. Actually, you have to track your opposite number, and he didn't do that. The second one, I don't take the body contact. So, listen, Clement's gonna get the blame, and rightfully so, because he is the manager. But some of these players need to have a long, hard look at themselves, because, as I said, it's not just about technical ability. You know, it's about having that other side of it and willing to work hard. And if they need to know what that looks like, they need to watch the Celtic team, because every single Celtic player did it today, and only some of the Rangers players did it.
Billy, but see, when you're blaming the manager, is there a really sobering case to say that Celtic are just much better, and even a better manager than Philippe Clement might not be able to change this?
No, at the moment, I mean, but at the end of the day, that was no hard game. Keep it simple. You need to put players out there that people's going to run. You put Matongo out there, and I don't doubt there's a player there, but I've not seen it. They scored a couple of goals last week. I never seen it myself. I was away again. I said, but you're doing backtrack. And we lost the first goal, you get chopped off. And then you lose the second one. It's the exact same move, doing the same side here. So it's up to the players and the manager to change it. And the only guy who can change it, the players are not doing it, is the manager.
But again then, Gordon, that's the challenge. Fine, Billy's obviously right. Philippe Clement picked Robbie Matondo. Who else is he going to pick?
Yeah, if you look at the difference between the two squads, it's massive, Gordon. Let's be honest about it. I was quite happy if I was looking at his team lineup from the start. He's went with a more solid three, and I think he was right to do that, so I'm not going to criticise him. But I think Marv's right. Sometimes, as players, you've got to take responsibility. That's the easy part of the game, working hard, chasing runners, backtracking. Matondo, for me, I've always said this. I know he played against Ross County, scored two, unlucky not to get man of the match. For me, he's an impact player. I think Rangers have got a few impact players. But the gulf between Rangers and Celtic just now is absolute massive, and I would be worried.
To clutch at straws, Barami is still to come in. But today, I looked at Cherny, and I've really liked Cherny since he got here. But today, he contributed nothing. Barron, the Rangers supporters have been very complimentary towards him. Today, looked lost in the Old Firm environment.
I think this is hindsight, Gordon. Of course it is. But you say, who else does he play with? No, Matondo. I think Philippe Clement had an opportunity to try and change the system, perhaps. But he keeps going with these two wingers, and one in Cherny and one in Matondo, and Desser's up front. Could there have been an argument to change to just a simple 3-5-2, and you match Celtic in the middle of the pitch, and you go width there, and you've got two up front?
I do get that, but usually, you know, like, the real criticism for managers is if they're, you know, they're blatantly picking the wrong players because there's better options there, or they're not getting a group of players to perform at the level that they should. But does Philippe Clement have that is that this team capable of much more?
A good group of players, but surely that needs to come back to the manager as well. He had an opportunity to recruit in the summer, and I know he had to shift a few, but he's got plenty in. Now, that's on his watch, who he's brought in and what can fit his system and what can't.
I think, to be fair, we shouldn't be, you know, too clever, but we all said at the time they couldn't do that in one window, so we can't now pretend that you're kind of stuck with some players.
Well, he said two windows.
The rebuild window in terms of moving all the experience out, trying to get the high earners off the wage and so on.
But if he thought Matondo wasn't good enough,
you were going to be left with.
Could he have brought in another? He made it clear that he was open to offers for Matondo, so the offer never came then.
That's what I mean. Do you then bring
a player in that position to challenge Matondo? I know he's got Cortez, who's injured. Okay, there's nothing you can do about that. But again, I think it comes a lot down to the manager. He's been here a year. I wonder what the message is. Marv's touching about, tracking back, matching your runners. It's a constant theme that runs through this Rangers team.
The manager can't shy away from the blame here, Gordon. And I totally understand what you're saying. If you look at that Celtic squad, man for man, they're a million times better. Yeah, I totally agree with that. But look at the style of play of Celtic, right?
You can see the plan.
I'm sitting there going, I can't see the Rangers plan. Yeah, against Ross County last week, 6, and everybody's thinking, right, we can start to see it develop. But when you go up a level and you go to Celtic Park, you look at the movement from the middle of park for Celtic today. You look at the front men's movement, full backs getting in and overlapping. Rangers didn't have that. Now, you can still work on that and make that better, and you can see progress. I don't see that with Rangers.
Marvin, is that something that jumped out being there? Is there still that lack of sort of a strategy, if you like?
Yeah, I think in the final third, Rangers are very much off the cuff. I think, you know, Czerny is speaking about there, he needs runners off him. But he was getting the ball today, he was trying to go in 1v1s and he was losing the ball. I think, you know, both the starting wingers and even McCausland, when he came on, you know, I didn't really think they impacted the game an awful lot. And you look at the other end of the pitch, and like the lads are saying, that, you know, Celtic get it and they've got underlaps, they've got overlaps, they've got midfield runners running forward. And we spoke about the centre of the park, you know, before the game, and, you know, I think it's quite telling when Rangers are constantly playing a right back in Sterling or a centre-half, centre of the park. You know, it's constant. And listen, you can do that once or twice. You know, people who played the game will tell you, you know, playing out of position once or twice is okay. But you see, when you come to these big games and you're playing against actual centre midfielders, you know, he does struggle. Don't get me wrong, he gets around and he does that side of it. But on the ball today, Rangers were given up far too easily after 15 or 20 minutes.
Thank you very much to Billy, who is not happy at all, safe to say. What about Archie on the other line? Archie, sum up how that feels to be a Rangers fan watching that today.
Well, it's pretty good, lads. Do you know what? As much as I'm always disappointed when Celtic beat Rangers, before the game I've told all my Celtic Rangers fans that I fancy 4-1 to Celtic. You know, I heard the boy with it last night before, the Celtic fans saying it would be 3-4, nothing easy. And I was totally in agreement. I was speaking to Bajusha, you know, I was trying to go in last night. See, after the D90 game, obviously after the Scotland break, there has to be a protest to get the board out. I think, for me, there has to be two spines. There has to be a strong board, a strong manager, and a strong captain. And there has to be a strong central defender, central midfielder, and centre forward. Rangers have no spine. The board are incapable of running Rangers. I think the manager, I said it when they gave him the contract about to 2028 after winning a League Cup only, it's going to come back to haunt him. He's not proven at all. He talks a good game. And I want to put something to Gordon Dale today, because it's actually been annoying me for a long time. And maybe that's the reason why he's not a manager now. I want to ask him this. I say I'm sick of listening to myself about having here. And Marvin said it the other day about another 10 players. Right, even somebody's a serial loser, Butler, can he defend? He doesn't even know where the man or the ball is. He's no heart, he gives the ball away constantly. He's just, there's nothing there. He's no leadership, no presence. And Gordon Dale says he's a fan. I want to know what he's a fanny, because I've just mentioned all that stuff.
Fan of.
Yeah,
I think,
I think you got it spot on.
Exactly, I think that described me very well there. Archie, I don't know if you listened to the programme today. I did mention the fact that, you know, I defended Tavernier, but since the start of the season, I've no defence whatsoever. I thought he's been absolutely terrible off it. I thought he was very poor today. So in my defence, you've got to listen to what I say. Yes, in days gone by, his numbers, everything he's achieved for Rangers in the sense of his goals and, you know, assists and whatever you may add to that, I would always back him. But since the season started, he has been dreadful.
To address Archie's core point, which is the board and the governance.
And there must be a protest, he says.
Yeah. Now, first of all, they're playing away there at Tannadice, but the chairman of the club, John Bennett, has put £20 million into Rangers. This is none of his making. The team on the park, being as poor as it is, being so far behind Celtic as it is, the man's put in £20 million of his own money.
This is where these conversations, we end up going over the history. Everybody takes the blame, though, to be fair, when it's a because the Rangers board, and well done for putting money in, they themselves would say, well, they gave Michael Beale a chequebook, and Philippe Clement is out this week saying that the historical wage issues for players that weren't contributing are part of the problem. So nobody's exempt from blame, really.
No. But they are a club in a trough. Rangers are in a trough of despair. They had the fiasco of the rebuilding work at Ibrox, which forced them to play some games at Hampden. But at its core, they've got a very ordinary, bordering on poor team. And the gulf between themselves and Celtic is getting wider and wider and wider. The lack of money available to be spent on players is becoming a bigger and bigger problem, while Celtic spend 30 million and still have tens of millions in the bank.
Let's go back to James Tavernier, Marvin, because it's been a long theme on this show, and the stuff about serial bottler or not being able to win things, that's a really difficult debate, because that's one man, and then what about the players round about him? And it's, you know, so we just go round in circles on it. Then you've got the factor that Gordon mentions about his goals and assists, and you think, how can you do without them? But are we in a different chapter of that argument? Because right now the goals and assists are not there, and it really does look like there's a lot about even his physical capabilities within the performance, or at least the sharpness, doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah, and defensively, Mark said about it earlier. You know, James Tavernier has played against Maeda on numerous occasions, and it seems to me that he opens up that channel, passes inside shoulder to get in a foot race with a man who's faster than him. You know, there was times today where you wanted him to narrow in, and as Mark said earlier, let the ball go to Maeda and then defend in a 1v1 situation. You might not tackle him, but you'll be able to delay what he's doing. But constantly, he's going too tight to Maeda. There was no pressure on the ball. Now, sliding the ball inside of him. And as he said, physically, he's always going to struggle because he's given away 2, 3, 4 yards in terms of pace, you know, over a 10 or 15 yard sprint. So, yeah, listen, James Tavernier needs to do better defensively 100%. We always knew that was a weakness within his game, but his positioning can definitely be better. And as you said, you know, when you're not scoring, you're not assisting, then you're even looking even more at how he is defensively. But for me, the whole Rangers defensive line being here, you know, they're in 2 or 3 different lines at times, and you're like, there's only 4 of you back there. There's no leadership. Proper was doing it at the start of the game. He was talking when Kyogo was coming off of him. But after 15 minutes, it's almost like they became too tired with it. And that's when Celtic really started to hurt them, because the back 4 of Rangers weren't moving at all. And, you know, Maeda, again, you know, scores a goal where James Tavernier potentially should do better. I just think, you know, defensively, that they have to do a lot more. And obviously, being the captain, it's always going to fall at his door first.
It just feels, though, Mark, that right now there's a real debate to be had about performances. Just performances. Because we're not distracted by the numbers. And the stuff about leadership or trophy hauls can wait for another day. But right now, week on week, even though, yeah, Rangers won last week and so on, it feels like there's a proper debate to be had about whether he's performing well enough to be in the team.
Without doubt. I mean, you're right, his numbers has probably gotten past that in recent seasons, where he scores a phenomenal amount of goals for a defender, and his set pieces have been on point and creates a lot of goals. But this season, it's clearly not been there. He's looked like he's struggling in possession. James Tavernier technically is outstanding on the ball, passing range, free kicks, corners, brilliant. Tactically, he looks all over the place just now, but psychologically, I mean, he looks like he cannot handle playing against Celtic. And I think that falls on the manager. That's a big decision. He's your captain. But I think you've got to assess, how many games has he played? How many times has he struggled? Do we just keep doing the same thing again and again? Yeah. And
we've struggled since the start of the season, Mark. It's not just Celtic. Yeah, you can pinpoint Celtic. Since the start of the season, James Tavernier has struggled and been very, very poor.
To make it specifically about Celtic for now, though, are Rangers at the stage where you do really have to think of something different on this day and think he cannot go out there against Eisen Maeda? Now, whether that's a big statement, whether it hangs him out to dry, whatever it may be, but change formation, put Dujon Sterling there. There's a new signing who can play right back. If it was the first, second, third time, Hugh, this is an ongoing rivalry which Eisen Maeda loves.
And that's why I asked the question in general terms. How many times does Philippe Clement need to look at games against Celtic and make the same mistakes over and over again?
What do you think, Marvin? Is that, and I get that it would be a big call, but there is no way James Tavernier, surely deep down, just does not want to keep facing Eisen Maeda.
Yes, it's a game, listen, he would never admit it being a player, but there's certain players you go up against and you fear them, and Maeda has to be the one, you know, for James Tavernier. And, you know, we were speaking before the game, kind of off air, and we were saying that, you know, I actually thought that Rangers might change their shape today, because as Hugh said there, they can't keep on doing the same thing. You know, you've got Sterling in there. Can you go to a back three and play him right of the three and maybe play Tavernier one higher up as a wing back? Because then it gives him that security that you've got someone behind him who's athletic, who can, you know, potentially help deal with Maeda. But they keep doing the same things. And Brendan Rodgers must be rubbing his hands together. You know, when he sees the teams come out and they line up on the pitch, Maeda must be rubbing his hands together thinking, right, get that ball in behind him. And Brendan Rodgers is doing the same. And listen, it's almost like it's 1-0 to Celtic before the game starts in terms of that battle, because I just don't see how they've tried to stop him today. Nothing's changed. You know, they've not got pressure on the ball high enough. They've allowed Maeda to make those out-to-win runs. He scored a goal today. And I know he's not the only, you know, attacker for Celtic that you need to watch, but I just think defensively, it's almost like at times that some of these Rangers players, like the first time they'd seen Celtic, that they hadn't watched videos, that, like, they hadn't played in previous games, and that's not acceptable.
Archie, are you very much fearing the worst for this season?
Well, definitely. I mean, I was thinking about it today. I think Celtic will end with 15 to 20 points. I think a big part, I mean, again, humble pie, I said that I gave you an exclusive in January. I've slapped my face. That Tavernier, the deal was done going to Saudi, because his wife goes to a friend of mine's shop every week and she was shouting about it. But I just think, I think his heart's no inwards. I think he thought he was going to the door. I think they're going to win easy, 50 to 20 points. But I know Marvin said it, and Gordon said it, it's been put to me a few times. Who do you have as captain? Well, I would have Big Butland. And what about the other 10 players?
Mm. What about Butland's positioning for the second goal?
No matter how good our team is, see, when you're a leader, especially a Rangers or Celtic, you're leading, you're driving a team forward no matter what. You've got presence, you've got proper leadership, you've got that boy. For me, he must have joined the Masons, right? I don't know how a manager, right, can keep him year after year. He's no presence whatsoever. He's no leadership skills. He's nothing like a Rangers captain that anybody knows. Right?
And I get these accusations, and well, part of that, I don't get all that accusation in there for what it's worth. But you know, but the leadership bit and who wears the armband. But Gordon, it feels like right now, it more importantly is, is he defending well enough for the team? Is he attacking well enough for the team? Then this stuff about leadership's a bit more, you know, if Jack Butland wears the armband today, the Rangers win that game.
No, you wouldn't
say so.
His overall play defensively and going forward, which is very strong. His delivery, free kicks, set plays, he's been poor. He's off it. Do you know something? I totally agree with Archie in this, right? He looks an unhappy player to me. He looks a player that, see if you took him out of the team, you know, I think he would quite like that.
It must take its toll, because after he's been here ages, Mark, and he's had the second best for ages, managed to get to a point where Rangers started winning some things, then back to second best, lots of accusations that it's your fault. He's had a crack at Champions League and he's kind of ticked a lot of the boxes. In his heart of hearts, do you think he believes he can captain Rangers to winning the title this season?
Well, he's got to have doubts.
And if he doesn't, well, that must be a really bad mindset to be in.
Yeah, of course. He must doubt it. And he looks like he's got a lot on his shoulders at the minute and his own personal performances. And that's a decision that sometimes a manager then has to be strong and take. But there's no doubt about it. He's way off the mark at the minute. And he's got to be judged the same as every other player. You cannot survive on your history of what you've achieved in the past.
It's a good time to call. And don't forget, we are on the live stream as well, just like we are during the week. If you want to see the happy little faces of Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and of course wherever you normally listen, give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next.
The games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Marvin Bartley's at Celtic Park. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are in the studio, and you can watch us on the live stream as well as listen to us between now and 4 o'clock. We're taking all your thoughts on where it went right for Celtic, where it went wrong for Rangers, everything in between. Let's keep going with Jim, who's a Rangers fan in Rutherglen. And sum up your feelings for us, Jim.
How you doing, boys? Where do you start? I hate to admit it, but I now think Rangers as a club in whole, especially at Parkhead, is a team that's beat before we even leave the tunnel anymore. That wasn't even competitive today. That was 3 going on 6 or 7. Now, there's an element of Rangers now from the top to the bottom. It just reeks a second best. And I put an element of the support in that as well, because if we get beat 1-0 today, there'd have been a good group of Rangers fans that says, well, at least we didn't get hammered. That would have been the acceptable. That's the benchmark now. There's no leadership at the top. There's no leadership on the park. There's no leadership for the bench. The club is in a complete and utter mess from top to bottom. And I honestly don't know where we go. I really don't.
It's hard to argue with Jim. I've said the club as a whole is in a trough of despair. The board haven't got things right. No matter how much money they've put in, and in a well-meaning fashion, they haven't got things right. They've appointed wrong managers. They've paid players too much money. They can't get rid of those players because they're on exotic contracts. Now they have Philippe Clement, and Philippe Clement can't get it right against Celtic. And if you can't do that, then you don't win the league. And he has brought in players now who have to come good for him. He has rejected Yanis Hadji. Now, I'm not saying that Yanis Hadji changes the course of the game today, but the fans are saying, he's a decent player. Why can't you don't rate him at all? And it's calling Clement's judgment into question. And the fans who've been on so far are quite right in one other sense. The Rangers players don't believe they can beat Celtic. Barron was lost in the atmosphere. Cherney didn't respond at all. The captain had a nightmare. The goalkeeper even had a nightmare. So they are in a bad place. And finishing above Celtic might not become their number one target. Finishing above Aberdeen might become their target.
The trough that Hugh speaks of feels like a deep one, Gordon, because we are all brought up, and some of you have experienced it a lot longer than me, that second is nowhere in Glasgow and all that sort of stuff. What do you do then, though, when you are definitely second best and there is no real likelihood that that changes anytime soon? How do those to coexist?
I totally agree with Jim. I think he summed it up perfectly well. How you address it now, I've no idea what Rangers are going to do, Gordon. Every Rangers fan out there, look, 90% of them probably were sitting today knowing that Celtic were going to win that game, unless Celtic were totally off it. As a team, I think Rangers look ordinary. I've not been impressed with our manager. I'm going to put my hand up and say that. I think he's come in, he's talked to talk, and I've liked what he's had to say. But I watched that game today. Have Celtic get better players? 100%. That doesn't guarantee you're going to win the game, right? And probably win it comfortably and should have won it by a lot more. There's no style there. I'm looking at a manager, Brendan Rodgers, and you can see they've been working in the training ground. They're passing, moving, overlapping, everything that goes a modern-day football team. I think Marvin Bartley summed it up brilliantly. When you get in the final third with Rangers, they play off the cuff. They hope for something to happen. It's okay doing that Hampden against Ross County, but when you come up against the quality Celtic, you've got to have something different. This manager doesn't seem to have that. Look, I agreed with him the fact that if he was going to go with the same formation today, with the three in the middle of the park, go a little bit stronger, try and get at Celtic, you know what's going to happen. But there's nothing, no signs there, Gordon, but for me, that would encourage you if you're a Rangers fan.
You can see why some people see it as mission impossible, Mark, because of the finances and so on. And then Celtic have that winning mentality. second best maybe is ingrained at Rangers. I know how they're trying to address it. Philippe Clement's mentioned it. Sometimes hear it from board members or whatever. They're trying to make up for it by getting what they call young, hungry players, because it's the only way that they're just not going to be able to outbid Celtic for players. So they're trying to change the squad. They're trying to make it young, hungry players. Diamande, Barron, Jeffte, etc. But again, if they're just not as good as Celtic's players, how do you get them out of this acceptance of second best that Jim mentioned?
Well, there's got to be a definitive identity. I think that's the point Daz is touching on. So if you've got players of lesser ability than your rivals, you've got to have every one of those players buying into your principle, your idea, your plan. And you've got to be able to visually see it. And the fans, we've been going on about it for weeks. The fans come on here and say their piece as well. The fans have got to be able to see it. They can see exactly what they're doing. I don't think Rangers have had that under Philippe Clement. I think it's a bit like Daz says and Marv says. And the forward areas, it's off the cuff. Defensively, I think they're too open. What are they? Are they a long ball team? Are they a counter-attacking team? Are they a possession-based team? Are they a high-pressing team? I don't know. Because you see it in flashes against Ross County where you can pick wee bits. But when it comes to the tougher games,
just quickly,
you don't
see it. Know the difference here, right? I'm looking at Brendan Rodgers on the screen here. Brendan Rodgers turned Mark O'Reilly into a £30 million football player, right? And he takes a lot of credit for that. They bought him in for what, 1.5 million. I know it's positive, but he worked with them, changed everything about them, and look what happened. Clement will not do that with any of the Rangers squad. I don't care how young they are.
Jim, where did it go wrong specifically today then, if you like? Let's talk about the game itself. What did you not like?
Just everybody's points there are actually bang on. But see, I reckon Clement has not learned a thing in five games against Celtic. I don't think he knows how to be. He's no signed players. There's no structure. We've no signed anybody that he can. That you would be confident of going to Parkhead today. You know, there's no structure. I don't know. I think it was Mark mentioned. I don't know for a long ball. There was no shape to us. We started off 10 minutes with a bit of pressing. We had the woman shot of losing the goal. And then 5 minutes later, you go one down. And for that moment, game's done. It's keeping it to a low score as best you can. But there's no conviction. There's nothing. You know, there's no winning mentality at all within that team. And I reckon Clement, I mean, 4.5 million for Diamande, in my opinion, is nuts. I think he's worse than a £50,000 Glenn Kamara. So the money he's spent on players as well, I just don't see what he's doing as a manager. I would actually love to see him getting Derek McInnes as best we could and just go back to old school, basic Scottish. Get his organised, get his hard to beat, bring in players and build for there. And because it's worrying. It is worrying.
In a city like this, with a rivalry like this, the worst problem you can have is when fans lose belief in the manager. And I think the Rangers supporters are gradually losing belief in Philippe Clement.
Let's make it again about today with Marvin, who was there. You know, Jim says, Marvin, about not learning lessons, and I'm sure there were elements of that. But how soul-destroying must it be for Philippe Clement? Because he did try something different at the start. Rangers press was better. It was more aggressive. And then as the game goes on, you all realise that Celtic sort of saw this coming and knew they could get out of it anyway.
Yeah, listen, Celtic began to work their way out of it, but I still go back to the first goal. Up until the first goal, I know there had been one disallowed, but you know, with the offside, I think it was Fekund, but up until the first goal, Rangers doing absolutely fine. And then it comes to the point where you don't track your man. So going about shape, going about what we do on the ball, off the ball, if you aren't going to run after somebody, then you can't win games of football. And it seems to me, watching this Rangers team, there's too many within the team now that are maybe playing at the pinnacle of their career. So Rangers is the top for them. Whereas you look at the Celtic team, there was, you talk about Carter Vickers, you can talk about McGregor. I know he's getting on a little bit now, but you know the players they've brought in, they're probably looking at us thinking, we can do really, really well for Celtic, but I reckon I can go to the next level. How many of those players out there for Rangers think that? Mm. How many of them are thinking they've won the lottery and they're actually lucky to be at Rangers? You can't win enough with players like that. Matondo, listen, I'm talking about him going back one way, tracking Alistair Johnson. Even going forward, he's got pace and abundance. Alistair Johnson tackled him once and it was almost like he lost confidence. Oh, I don't want to run forward anymore. Then he goes down with his hamstring. Then 15 minutes later, he comes off. You know, he makes a mistake for the first goal. How many Rangers players said anything to him? Not one. McCausland came on. Johnson ran off the back of him. not a Rangers player said a single word. You have to dig people out. Like, you can't keep accepting this. You can't keep losing games of football, losing sloppy goals and not saying anything to each other. I don't care what you say in the dressing room. Out there on the pitch, let people know that it's not acceptable. But it seems like, oh, do you know what? We're going to lose another goal. We're going to lose another game. Oh, it's fine. We'll win next week because we're playing a lesser team. No, it's not acceptable what they're doing. And the longer they continue like that and settle going the way they're going, I can't see them getting even close to them.
This fixture will expose your flaws, obviously. It's the toughest test. And we did see that Hugh mentioned before. So far, it's all kind of been rosy for Václav Černý. Not played loads, but Rangers fans like what they see. They think he's a definite upgrade, and he may well still turn out to be. But he's on his heels. He's not got the same desire as Greg Taylor, who just runs in front of him and, you know, ends up in the back of the net. So you learn a lot, I guess, on days
I think a few Rangers players get caught out today. Everybody was praising young Byrne. I think young Byrne was running about like a headless chicken at times. Celtic were just playing through him. Černý is, for me, a disgrace for that, because it doesn't matter. It's Greg Taylor. You've got to have the desire to get in there, put your body in. He's a 26-year-old international footballer. They didn't live up to their reputations. I really do worry for Rangers in the fact of just looking at their overall squad. Yes, it's easy to beat Ross County, but there's a lot of them out there today, just, for me, looked very average indeed.
Thank you very much to Jim. Let's bring in Gerard. Gerard, you're a Celtic fan. Quite often it's the angry losing side that will shout the loudest, so let's give your team the credit that it's due. What impressed you today?
How good was Paulo Bernardo? Honestly, well, high panel anyway. I'm just ecstatic. My way home from game just now, my lovely wife, she dropped me, picked me up and dropped me off, and now we're driving home, so...
That's what you're looking for, a wee taxi service. Yeah. That's what a lovely life. That is magnificent, that is, I have to say.
You don't know me better as Jiggy for Renton, actually.
Oh, bro. Oh, Jiggy. How are you?
He's in the... Marvin,
you... Jordan, how are you doing?
you saw Paulo Bernardo up close, and it's going to be... It's so easy to lean into that, you know, oh, no, no matter, Riley, no problem sort of thing, but I guess it was part of the story today.
Yeah, it was part of the story. And listen, there's always going to be pressure on anyone that's trying to replace Matt O'Riley because he was fantastic for Celtic. But I agree with Jarrod there in terms of Bernardo came in and it was seamless. It's been seamless the last two games, but today he really stood out. You know, his quality on the ball was absolutely brilliant. He constantly wanted to get on it, going into wide positions and playing forward when he could, you know, blocking the gaps when he had to. His all-round game today was absolutely excellent. And I know he ended up coming off because I just think he ran out of steam towards the end of it. But, you know, if you're a Celtic fan and you're watching him, you're absolutely delighted because he looks a better player now than he did look last season. And maybe that's because he knows that place is potentially up for grabs. But, yeah, his all-round game today was excellent.
The story was twofold for Paulo Bernardo. O'Riley has gone and Bernardo was enjoying the fact that he was first pick for the day. However, in the background is someone who has cost Celtic a club record fee. So he has Arne Ingels to contend with as well. But Gerard's right. From the word go, he was at it, bang at it. And in fact, I think he saw the big finish and he was over-elaborate with the chance that he had and did not take. He could have scored a wonderful goal, but he... certainly rose to the occasion, and that's the whole thing about Celtic and Rangers right now. Paulo Bernardo is a class above anything Rangers have. O'Riley was two classes above anything Rangers have.
And Bernardo might be the fourth choice midfielder in the fullness of time.
Yeah, that's why I say the season can only go from strength to strength from Celtic on a domestic basis. Right now, everyone at Rangers, from the chairman to McCausland, everyone is being questioned, and they're being questioned because they do not have the ability to equal Celtic.
How much improved do you think Celtic look from last season, Gerard?
Well, I didn't even notice Matt O'Riley wasn't there, and I'll be honest, I thought Hattati had a poor maybe 60 minutes, to be honest, and Bernardo was working his gap, filling in and pulling out. But no, see, when you look, that's why Man City rumoured to be in for Thiago. That movement is absolutely outstanding, off the shoulder, outstanding. It's just like, Unbelievable.
Yeah, what more do you...
He's a young dadler, isn't he?
Oh, geez, steady. Oh,
well
steady.
Done, Sean, well
somebody,
done.
I didn't know you were in hospitality at the game, Gerard. You, never, you let that one slip. Marvin Kyogo, don't know, tell me something new. Tell me something you've not said about him so far.
I wish I could. Like, again, I agree with his movement up at the top end was brilliant. Willing to run in behind. You know, then he was taking the Rangers players, defenders long to come short. You know, he was doing absolutely everything, linking it all up for Celtic. And then I said, you know, I'm one of those. In the 73rd minute, I think it was, when he runs back and makes that tackle when they're being counter-attacked, it's unbelievable. That's probably the highest pace that he hit during the whole game. And he runs back 70 or 80 yards. And yes, he didn't make the tackle because he ends up putting pressure on. I think it's Scales who makes the tackle. But then from that, he gets the ball, he plays it forward, and then McGregor ends up scoring at the end of it. And that's the thing that some fans might miss. Yes, he's brilliant in and around the box. Yes, he gets his goal. Yes, he links the play up, but he's still willing to do that at 2-0. That's a centre forward. That's what we'll tell you. You're well within your rights. I've scored, mate. I'm going to stand up here. One of you boys go and get the ball back. But he's willing to do that. And that just shows, you know, the team spirit at Celtic at this moment in time is absolutely brilliant. And listen, that's why everyone's waxing lyrical about them.
But how hard is that to get, Mark? I said it during the game. It's not like every player thinks they work hard, I'm sure. Well, apart from him in the 90s, right? You, I'm talking about, he's not even listening. He's just dreaming off in the corner.
Sorry, I'm just watching.
Every player thinks they work hard. Yeah. And every manager says that he expects their players to work hard. Everybody, at every level. But hardly anybody does what Kyogo does there. Yeah. So how do you bottle that?
Well, he's a different level. It's within him, and Maeda's the same. And let's be honest, Brendan Rodgers or any manager would be lucky to inherit them into the squad because it makes your playing style a whole lot easier. And Marvin's right, it makes the rest of the squad buy into your work ethic that bit easier. Because if you can point to your top goal scorer and your winger and say, that's how hard those work, as midfielders coming in, your McCowans and your Engels, that's what we expect from you. So it makes it easier to achieve
your manager demands it. That's what I think. I think the manager demands it.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You would demand it off players, right? But you don't get that level of tracking back from strikers.
Listen, it's in his nature anyway. I've never have done it in my life, but it's in his nature. But at the end of the day, he's looking across at the dugout.
Yeah.
And he's seeing, listen, if I'm not putting my shift in here, somebody else has got to come and take my jersey.
But Marvin, obviously, Brendan Rodgers would be the first to say that, you know, that's the team performance, the unit, because they create a chance for him to go through one-on-one and he misses, and they create a chance that he scores but it's ruled out for offside, but there's enough opportunity there. The patterns of play, the waves of attack are so structured that he'll get his goal against Rangers as he always does.
Yeah, exactly that. And as you said, you know, it's the pattern of play. Everyone knows where each other are going to be when they get into that final third. They know the runs that are going to be made. They know where to put the ball. Half the time, the Celtic midfielders, you know, when the ball's coming into them, they're not even looking at where they're running. They're just playing the ball because they know Kyogo's going to go. They know Maeda's going to go. They know Kun's going to go, or Forrest when he comes on, because they're willing to run in behind. And as you said, you don't mind a player missing one or two chances when they're willing to work back as hard as that, because do you know what? It might mean someone else has to score a goal today, but you know he's going to put in the shift for you, and it's infectious. That's what happens within your squad as a manager. When you've got him doing that and Maeda, you know, for any player that, like you guys are saying there, that comes into this football club, say, well, this is our top goal scorer. This is our talisman, and look how hard he's willing to work. And if he's doing that and scoring goals, you have to do exactly the same.
What about the negative side of that goal from a Rangers perspective? The one guy that they really thought they could rely on when everything else round about them is going pear-shaped is Jack Butland.
Yeah, his positioning was horrendous. I have no idea what was going through his mind. And as Mark Wilson pointed out to us in the studio, you know, the ball's 2 yards inside the post when it goes into the net. So I know he's a decent goalkeeper, but he is prone to error, and he must hate the sight of Kyogo, because Kyogo just has a glee day every time he plays Rangers. It's all part of what's going on. You pick any Rangers player, the manager, nobody got anything right today. And I'll be very interested to hear what the manager says, because I think the fans are losing belief in Clement. And he had better not come out with statements after the game that make them say, this man is waffling.
But it's Mark, you know, again, we mentioned that during the game, there's still a lot of credit to Kyogo. Even if a keeper's out of position, he was, I need to see it again, I think more than 25 yards, right? Players always put their laces through it from there. If they're running with the ball in their stride, it's always the way they hit the ball. but the crowd's going crazy. It's noisy. He's got players around him. His head's down. He's dribbling. And he spots that Jack Butland's, I mean, it probably is only maybe 2-3 yards over to one side, and he spots it, has the presence of mind to try and pull it off the way he does, and then the execution to do it.
Top players do that. Top players get their head up, see what's round about them, see what's the best option. And Kyogo obviously saw that. He saw the gap. It's one thing seeing it and another thing executing it. And he's got the quality to do that, but there's no doubt it's a mistake from Butland to be so far over. But it's a top quality finish. But his movement, and Marv touched on his movement, you know, he took proper, you know, all over the pitch. But when Taylor wins that, you see where Kyogo's dropped into. He's in acres of space because he comes off the centre backs. And it's his awareness that leads him to obviously take on the shot and score.
Thank you to Jiggy on his way back from the game. 01419511025. If you call right now, we'll do our best to get you on next.
After they play, you have your say. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevens are in the studio. You can call us, you can watch us on the live stream on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can send us a tweet. And you, Jiggy's back. Jiggy's on Twitter now. He's looking for more. He wants a shout out for his Mrs. Lizzie for picking him up.
Jiggy and Lizzie
obviously didn't quite get the shout out in that he was supposed to when he was on the phone.
Hi Lizzie.
But hi, anyway, Jiggy. Let's not overdo it. 01419511025 if you want to join in. We're going to hear from the managers soon as well. Always a huge part of a day like today. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. His thoughts firstly on Rangers' performance.
That we started the game really well, that we had best of the ball in the first 10 minutes, get two really good opportunities with Cyril coming free in front of goal and with Rabiot free header there. So you need to be clinical in those games, and to come in front, it changes the momentum, and it would have helped the team a lot to go in front here. And we did the good things with the ball to create that, but we need to be more clinical in those moments. Was the same in the second half, because at the end, Celtic has today 14 shots, we have 13. They had 4 on target, we had 4 on target, but you lose with 3-0, so that's really a clear result and difference in efficiency. And of course, you give them a lot of confidence if they come 1-0 in front and 2-0 in front. It's always easier to play. But ball possession was also equal today, 47-53, between the two teams. So I was not happy with the reaction after the 1-0. It was not good enough. There we went down in the first half. Second half was better reaction. But we, you have to become more open as a team, because you need to chase 2 goals and to take more risks. So that creates also chances for them. But on the other side, we had also really, really 100% chances, but they need to be put against the net.
Marvin, just because you were the eyewitness, and the eye test is always so important, and it reminds you of why stats are just that. He's right. I looked at the stats. The possession was pretty close. Passes made pretty close. Even the modern fangled XG was pretty close. That will not give the Rangers fans one shred of comfort tonight.
No, nor should it. You know, I think a couple of those shots on target, maybe 3 of them, were towards the end of the game as well. And as I said, if Celtic would have conceded, I think they would have gone up another gear or another 2 gears if they need to. So, yeah, listen, all those stats can read what you want them to read. But as you said, the eye test for what happened today wasn't a close game. And as I said, it was a game that if Celtic needed to go up in gears, they would have. I'm surprised that he's not, you know, said more about the way they conceded the goals, but maybe that's something that he wants to do in private, not publicly. But, you know, I get the frustration that Rangers fans are going to have, because, you know, they could see what happened with the goals. They could see that they were avoidable. They could see there was a lack of, you know, work rate, etc., or, you know, using their bodies to protect the ball. So, you know, maybe they would have expected to hear that from the manager. But, yeah, listen, those stats can read whatever they want to read. The important one is it was 3-0.
As a famous politician once said, there are lies, damned lies, and statistics. And the Rangers fans know what they're looking at, and they're not interested in 14 shots against 13 shots and whatever else he comes up with. Celtic outplayed and outfought and outthought Rangers. There was never, from the moment that Daizen made us score the first goal, ever any doubt about who would win the match. And the overall picture is that the gulf between Celtic and Rangers in Philippe Clement's time at Ibrox has started to get bigger and not smaller. So I would leave the stats and talk about the overall impression, because they're getting left well behind Rangers.
He's underestimating the Rangers supporters. Mm-hmm. I said he talks. For me, that interview was nonsense. First and foremost, he talks about the first two chances. The two of them were offside. He tried to make it a picture that Rangers were a bit unlucky today. The gulf in class between Rangers and Celtic today was enormous. And he's coming out, and I'm sorry, he's got to realise you can't underestimate Rangers support. Rangers supporters will know they were well and truly beat today. In fact, they'll be quite happy in the fact that it was only 3-0. It could have been a sorer one in 3-0. And yet, once again, that's why I said it earlier, I might be unpopular here, I have never been convinced of this guy. I think he just talks for the sake of talking. I don't see style of football. I look at some of his signings are very, very poor. You're a manager that leads by example. You've got to have, you know, that respect that your players are going to go out there and give that desire of tracking back and doing the basic things in football. Brendan Rodgers has certainly got it. He demands it. So that interview today would worry me if I was sitting a Rangers supporter listening to that.
I was going to say that. I think for Rangers supporters, that's concerning. I think Philippe Clement could have done with just a good, honest interview after that. After some of the stuff he's come out with in previous games and the moral victory and all that nonsense and even other games, today was as clear that there was a huge gulf to anybody that could be. And he could have just come out and said that. Now, he's talking about stats and shots and goal. But when did you get the shots and goal? When Celtic were 3-0 up, or when the game was in the balance? The game was over. So when did you get the majority of your possession? When Celtic took their foot off the gas? Daz is right. He's trying to pull the wool over Rangers fans' eyes, and they could clearly see, staring them right at the face, like all of us, what happened today. And he could have just done with, in my opinion, coming out and saying, we were outdone, we were outclassed, we need to get better in this fixture, and left at that.
What do you think, Jimmy? Jimmy's a Rangers fan. You know, the manager's talking about possession and felt like they did well in certain ways. Is that the way you saw it?
I could use a few words that would maybe get me fine. He's talking absolute garbage. I just can't believe, you know, the rubbish that's come out of our club. We're not interested in 53% and 47%. We're not interested in that at all. We're interested in a winning team. But what worries me is what's getting the day is that there's nobody talking to each other, guys. There's no communication on the park. But no, my biggest fear is Hearts and Dundee United are playing this now. And if Dundee United get a result tonight, then we could be fourth in the league. Our first game after the international break is against Dundee United at Canada's. Dundee United will beat us, which I think they probably will. And we could be fifth or sixth in the league. You know, we've been playing poor all season. The 6-0 against Ross County flattered us. Because Ross County were probably one of the poorest teams I've seen this season. I mean, a lot of seasons. But I'm not being bad against Ross County, but we were good in the day because Ross County were bad. But we're very poor, and the wee cheering and dancing about after beating St John's in the cup was absolutely embarrassing. So for me, it's Clement's talking, and I hope I can use the word again. He's talking absolute garbage. And we're not interested in the stats. Rangers were very, very poor today because we've not got a decent team.
The irony.
It's from top to bottom, isn't that? If Dundee United, they beat us at Tannadice in a couple of weeks, guys, I'm sorry to say, but Clement must go.
The irony is this man has a backstory. This man has been a title winner in Belgium. This man was good enough to be offered the job at Monaco. It didn't go well for him there. It is not going well for him at Ibrox, and I don't know why. But I said before we heard anything from him, he had better not say anything that would cause a negative reaction among the Rangers fans, and he has. And Jimmy has highlighted the fact that he's not listening to any of that stuff about stats. For some reason, and he's approaching his first anniversary in the job. For some reason, Philippe Clement can't get a tune out of these Rangers players. And I don't know whether it's because of the general lack of funds for him to bring in players of better quality. But whoever he brings in, whoever was already there, the performances are going from bad to worse, not in the opposite direction.
The only thing for me that was missing from that nonsense of an interview, and no Rangers fans going to buy that. You might get one or two. No Rangers fans going to buy it. They watch with their own eyes, Gordon. They see the difference in class and they understand that.
Are you onto a slight hiding to nothing where he comes out and admits the golf and then he gets battered for that anyway? We are quite like that in this city.
He can divide it a little bit. He can talk about, I think Marv's right, he can talk about the disappointment of the goals and, you know, if we come here against a team of Celtic, we've got to do better in the sense of tracking and doing our work and we lost the goals at the wrong time, whatever it may be. The only thing that was missing there was, I was waiting for him to say, well, we had a better warm-up today and with more high fives. So maybe that's going forward. Nobody's buying that nonsense. And I don't know why somebody doesn't just grab them and say, look, this is Glasgow. This is where Rangers supporters, they love the club, they support the club. They're not going to buy that. They will not buy that today.
Maybe that's just one part of the press conference and I've not heard any more of it than you have. Let's hear what you had to say on this idea of the gap and how big it is.
So, of course, it's a team and we spoke about that. Celtic is now, with this team that started playing already more than 1 year, some guys are playing 2-3 years together. Of course, there are more automatism between players and to do the right things at the right moment and the speed of handling, because they did it so many times together. We are just at the start with a new squad, with a new team. In that way, there were really positive things in the beginning of the game, but you need to kill off the game then and to score, and then it can be another dynamic. So of course, yeah, when it's 3-0, you need to shut up at that moment and to accept that you lost and it was not good enough. So we're going to work really hard the next couple of months to be much better in general.
Does that make you feel any better about it, Jimmy? Is it more aligned with your thinking?
Absolute rubbish he's talking. You know, the players were brought in, haven't they been up to standard? And the players that we've let go for nothing, they could rail off maybe 5 or 6 decent players they've let go. He's talking absolute rubbish. Look, we're losing patience with him. You know, we know there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes and obviously the money's not there. But, I mean, for me, the damage limitation and 3-0 was a decent score for us. To come away with it, but he's absolutely talking. He's talking. I use the word again. He's talking garbage. He's not a Rangers manager for me. It's time he moved on. And I heard what Hugh said there. And he failed at Monaco and he looks like he's going to fail here. It's like another Cassinia, and it's becoming a nightmare. You know, I can see Rangers maybe finishing at the end of the season 3rd or 4th in the league, and that's unacceptable.
He cut to the chase and said, "At 3-0, you have to shut up." That was his expression. You have to shut up and accept that it wasn't good enough. So he cut to the chase at that point. The problem that he has in the earlier part of that clip, he said that Celtic have been together for 2 or 3 years. Well, in some cases, it's even longer than that. However, this is to presuppose that you will get 2 or 3 years, and he won't. He won't get that length of time. And I know that Rangers are trying desperately to break the cycle of managers in, managers out in jig time. But Philippe Clement, at Rangers' current rate of regression, won't get 2 or 3 years.
I mean, Marvin, there is a bit of truth in that. There has to be. How much emphasis Rangers fans want to put on it is up to them. But, you know, McGregor, Hatate, Kyogo, you know, Greg Taylor, these patterns that Celtic have been working on, they're so embedded now, they're so good at it.
Yeah, they're definitely embedded. And listen, it does take time, and I get what he's saying. And, you know, some of the players have been in and around it for a long period of time. But one thing I would say is it's not that, you know, players for Rangers are failing with the style of play. Like, you know, the guys in the studio said and the fans have called up, at times it doesn't look like there's any style. So, you know, it's not that they're trying to do something and you can see what they're trying to do. As I said, when they get into the final third, it's off the cuff. there isn't any underlapping or, you know, overlapping, or they're trying to put crosses in early or linking off the striker. It changes every single time they go forward, and that's the reason it breaks down so much. And the flip side of that is McCowan comes in today and Engels came onto the pitch. They've been at Celtic for what, 24-48 hours? And they didn't look like they were struggling to do what they needed to do. Yes, they didn't get as many touches as maybe they wanted, but you can see they were in the right sorts of areas trying to do the right sorts of things. You know, and listen, in 2 or 3 years' time, is Matondo going to track his man back? Is Czerny on the far side going to use his body against Greg Taylor? You know, that's not about 2 or 3 years' time. These are professional footballers. They have to do their jobs first.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. You can pour over his every word, a bit of a happier mood, I would suspect, and you can hear that next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line, 0141 951 1025.
We're on the home straight, just about 10 minutes or so remaining for you to get your calls in and react to events at Celtic Park. Marvin Bartley's still there. How much do you just love making him wait?
Yeah. Does he know we're on to 6 o'clock?
To the end.
Good one.
He's late for everything and now we're in control.
He's been at Celtic Park longer than he's been in the South.
Oh, that was below the belt.
Two-footed from
Shuggy.
Expected better from Hugh.
Yeah.
You two used to be friends. The best of it is we know that the TV coverage is finished, so he's left home, is sitting waiting,
beeping the horn,
and he's delaying it all. Anyway, you're nearly there, Marvin. Hang tight. Let's hear the thoughts of Brendan Rodgers on today.
No, it was a fantastic performance. I thought we were electric going forward. I scored 3, and we look at the other chances we had in the game, was very, very good, but also equally as pleasing, defensively solid and strong and right to the very end. Casper makes a really good save at the end. So, but overall, it was such a great day for us, and it just continues that the quality, the speed, the intensity of which we've been playing.
There will be obvious caveats, Hugh, about it's helpful when you've got the most money and you've got the best players, but it does all seem very in control at the moment. And I know you get stick for it because some of it's the kind of Brentisms and whatever, but when he said about that's a Brendan team, someone said to him in pre-season, that's a Brendan team, for what it's worth, it does kind of look that way at the moment. That last year, you know, ride out a bit of frustration at the start and it all looks like it's happening exactly how he wants it now.
He said something on Friday, at the core of every Celtic supporter story is Celtic versus Rangers. Therefore, he set the platform. And we've gone over what Philippe Clement had to say and questioned the wisdom of saying what he said about stats. Brendan Rodgers had all the buzzwords in a row there. Electric going forward. Solid. Strong. To the very end in defence. Speed. Intensity. He knows what he's looking at. And he is looking at the domination of Rangers for as long as he's at Celtic Park. And that is a comfort to the supporters and a worry to the Rangers fans.
Marvin, I wonder if actually the moment you really saw that was the disallowed goal, because there's a bit of chaos and it maybe suited Rangers for it to be kind of front foot and scrappy. But if you could get Brendan Rodgers on the board and draw a move that they'd come up with in training, that disallowed goal, I'm sure, is the sort of thing they must work on all the time.
Yeah, and listen, it was a constant throughout this game. You know, like you said, it's repeated actions and it's repeated plays forward and patterns of play, etc. And the thing is, they were getting so much joy with it. They never really had to change what they were doing. And as you said, you know, the disallowed goal was exactly that. You know, gets down the side and then it plays it across and Kyogo puts it in the back of the net. And that should have been the warning that Rangers needed, you know, to almost refocus again. Because as we said, they started the game well, but they just didn't do that. It's almost like that disallowed goal spooked them. You know, and Celtic then thought, you know what, we can continue doing this against them. You know, we can keep getting in foot races with them and, you know, we'll continue to get in behind them. And listen, Brendan Rodgers will be absolutely delighted, as I said. And, you know, I actually think during his whole tenure, over the 2 tenures he's had at Celtic, this is the furthest away Rangers have been from them in terms of, you know, a game in isolation. Rangers did not lay a glove on Celtic today. I know there was a lot of bookings, etc., but there wasn't any like real physical tackles. They weren't trying to get close to anybody. They weren't trying to leave their mark. And listen, within the rules of the game, there was just nothing about them. They just allowed themselves to get beaten and then just wander off the pitch after 94 minutes.
Well, we did see it at half-time. The one thing that's been missing, if you can call it that, from the fixture recently is Celtic have looked like they would be really dominant on the scoreboard, and then it didn't transpire. Yeah. Rangers would get one back. It would maybe get a bit nervy. So that was different, obviously, today.
I think Marvin made a statement there that's very, very true and very, very worrying for Rangers at the same time. In the two spells that Brendan Rodgers has had as Celtic manager, the gulf now looks bigger than it ever has been.
I'm always wary of those snap judgments. You remember the first one, the Dembele hat-trick, 5-1, Joey Barton, etc. I don't know. I know we like these big bold statements about where they are.
I'm looking about the two.
Some of that Rangers team were miles away at the time.
But I'm looking at the complexion of both clubs. You've got one club that is the model of stability and is cash rich and is now taken to spending that cash to record breaking levels, and you have another club who don't have money.
Yeah. No, listen, I get that, and there won't be much in it. I don't think it's much solace to the Rangers fans, but I don't know why we don't need to make the big sweeping judgment. There were some proper doings the first time he was here as well, but either way, it's good for the Celtic fans.
I think the credit for Brendan Rodgers is quite simple for me, Gordon. We had phone calls about style of play, everybody talking about Postecoglou. Nobody will be talking about Postecoglou now. Brendan Rodgers has went away.
Lost today, incidentally, against Newcastle.
Yeah, he's pre-season. He come back. He told everybody, listen, this is a different Celtic team. We were waiting to see what was happening. The pace, sharpness, the interlinking, the movement is absolutely brilliant.
Stevie's a Celtic fan. You must have enjoyed it, Stevie.
Good afternoon, panel. I was absolutely ecstatic, but I'm going to stop there because I'm going to rewind back to the pre-season. Now, if everyone didn't watch us playing in the States, I'm going to watch the Man City game was a telltale sign of how we were growing as a team, collectively. Mindset, structural, spine, drive, passing move, interchanging passing, telepathic moving. The Man City were in 6th and 7th against us, and Chelsea got the same. We are on a par with England's best right now. That's what I'm putting my beloved hoops. We are up against, we're better than Man United, we're better than Tottenham, we're up there with Man City. We're right up there.
Good to see Roddy's getting carried away.
behave yourself. Celtic are absolutely brilliant, dominant in Scottish football, you're kidding yourself on.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, if you watch us play, the mind, the drive, the passing and movement, right? We play, and the speed that we play is unbelievable.
Have you seen the speed that Manchester City play when they're up and running?
Yes, I've seen them play in the pre-season.
Did you see them against West Ham last night?
Yes, I've seen them against West Ham, but that was against pre-season against us, and they were going toe-to-toe.
Pre-season's completely different, and plus the fact Manchester English teams are about two or three weeks behind Scottish teams. Yes, now, as much as I'll give you praise with Celtic, I think you're getting a little bit carried away when you put yourself up against Man City.
I'll come off a notch a wee bit, right? When we're on a level there, right? We're definitely on a level there. So you can't take that away from us. We're definitely a level there. And I'm going to say this to you. Rangers woes, and I'm going to put one man that they had, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. That's when their trouble started, when they let him go. Van Bronckhorst was the man for that club, for their club. They have no spine, they have no money, right? They need to gather what they've got, you know, and try and build on it. But that's not our fault, you know.
Yeah, Stevie, just quickly. Yep. Manchester City won the English Premier League. You telling me Celtic could win the English Premier League?
No, you're missing.
So you're not up there with Manchester City then?
I'm saying we are on a par with Premiership teams now. That's what Brendan Rodgers got us playing.
It's a weird argument now, because it now sounds like we all want to do down Celtic on a day that they were very good, Marvin, which is not really the aim, but I suppose if the point comes up, you have to give your opinion on it.
Yeah, no, listen, let's stick to how well Celtic did today. I think comparing them to Manchester City is is a real stretch of the imagination. I know what happened in pre-season, but you look at the Manchester City team, it's kids, and I know Haaland played in Grealish. I think Phillips played in that team as well. But yeah, listen, let's talk about Celtic today. They were brilliant, and they are heading in the right direction. When Brendan first came in, a lot of people spoke about the style, when it was slow and it was this and it was that and the other, and he's evolved. You know, all good managers evolved. You know, players have taken, you know, by the scruff of the neck as well. They look fantastic today, and listen, they have to do things domestically, which I think they'll do, and then they're heading to the Champions League with a new format, and we'll see how they fare in there. But listen, I was just as impressed with Celtic off the ball as I was with them on the ball today. Listen, their all-round game was absolutely brilliant.
For what it's worth, when Celtic win the Champions League, mm-hmm. I'm going to phone him back on a night that you're on, Bobby, and you
the ferry won't
trouble.
Even go to Ar and get him now.
You won't come on that night.
Okay, when
you'll
Celtic
be
win
hiding
the Champions
in a corner.
League.
Marvin, thank you. Safe trip home. We'll speak to
Cheers,
you.
Buddy.
During the week, tomorrow, in fact, I think, with Andy Halliday. If you'll brave it.
Oh,
I mean, he was good yesterday, though, for Motherwell. Then he has to weigh it up against how he'll be feeling today. We'll see. Anyway, thank you to the three of you. It was a pleasure. As always, thank you for your calls and your tweets. And for those of you who watched the live stream, we'll be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.